Token number 24, we're going to subtitle it, Taking the Promise. Leviticus 22, and we'll read from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord. Say unto them, Whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things, which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul should be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we hear these very strict words given in commandment to Aaron, your prophet, or not your prophet, but your high priest. And knowing that the sons of Levi who ministered in the temple were given very strong commitment to cut themselves off from all that which is pertaining to the world and the sinfulness. And they were to walk holy, holy, holy before you, Lord. And if not, then they would be stricken from your presence. And so, Lord, we realize that we're coming into a great convocation, a holy gathering. We're coming to the place, Lord, where we're getting ready for the going home. And we ask you, Father, to help us in our preparation. Help us to be made ready, a prepared people for the Lord. For we ask it humbly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if God is the same, and he changes not, he will not accept our coming into his holy presence with just any old attitude and in any old way. There is a certain way which we must come prepared. We must come prepared to enter into God's presence. From Leviticus chapter 22, verse 1 again, I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, The Lord said to Moses, Tell Aaron and his sons to treat with respect the sacred offerings the Israelites consecrate to me, so they will not profane my holy name. I am the Lord. And what are the sacred offerings? It is those things which the people of God have set aside to the Lord, such as this tabernacle, the place of worship. He says, Say to them, For the generation to come, if any of your descendants is ceremonially unclean, or has been tainted with sexual uncleanness, and yet comes near those sacred things that the Israelites have consecrated to the Lord, that person must be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. Now, from Hidden Life, Brother Branham said, Now notice when the high priest once a year entered into the first veil, then into the second veil, and on the outside at the lavers, when they watched the sacrifice, then the sacrifice was killed, it was put on a brazen altar, and the blood was put in a charger, and the high priest once a year walked in behind the veil to make an atonement. And notice the dressing of this high priest. Before he could enter into the veil, he had to be stripped and dressed right to go in there. And God has got to strip us of all of our pride, all of our self, and dress us in the righteousness of Christ. Now that's what the church is today. What it needs is a stripping off of all these little cults and things and dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and ready to enter in. His walk must be different. Along the hems of his garment, he had a pomegranate and then a bell. And as he walked, his walk was so perfect until the bells play, Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. What we need today is not whether we are assemblies of God or church of God or oneness or whatever it might be. I would just add this, whatever camp we might think that we're part of. Our walk ought to be plain to the public, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Now that's pretty powerful words that I believe that if we do not honor those words, then God will not honor us. If it was so important for the high priest to approach God in such a way as to where he would be stricken dead if he didn't, do you think God will just take us, any of us, any old way we choose? I think the scripture speaks to us of respect. It speaks of the lack of respect that some have for the house of God, and in doing so, they're cut off. They're to be cut off from the presence of God. And don't worry, if you don't do it, God surely will do it. So, from law of grace, Brother Ramson, now the high priest being anointed, going in, he had to take the blood of an animal with him, or he would die. And another thing about his garment, did you know at the end of the garment, did you ever know what was at the end of the garment? He had something on the end of it. And every, there was a little thing hanging down at the end of the border of his garment, and it was a pomegranate and a bell. And a pomegranate and a bell. And he had to walk a certain way when he went in. He couldn't make himself just any old way. He had to walk a certain way. For every time he made a step, them bells had to play, bumping against the pomegranate. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Then the Lord heard him on the approach. Amen. Hallelujah. There it is. God hears you if you're coming. God's provided a way on your approach. For you're coming crying from your heart, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. There you're entering, though, when you come seeking for the Holy Spirit, see, it's holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Now, another thing that I didn't have time to find the scripture for this morning, but they also had a rope tied around the high priest's waist. Because if that sound stopped, they knew he had misstepped, and they had to pull him out because he was a dead man. Well, I think we've seen the Word of God manifest itself in a mighty way in this little church because we have respected God and this sanctuary, which has been dedicated to Him, and we set it aside as a sacred place of refuge where we can come and worship Him in spirit and truth. And that is why we do not speak in here, pass notes, and draw pictures during service. We're here to worship God, and everything else must be kept outside those walls. Now, we left off last night from the token, paragraph 94, so I'd like to pick up this morning at the token, paragraph 95, and begin reading. Brother Ram says, when Moses began his ministry in Israel, with great signs, you see, Israel quickly gathered from all over Egypt to Goshen, come back to a home place, because they knew something was fixing to happen. Excuse me. Oh, what a type. Oh, they come from the east and west. They come from the lands afar. That's right, you've heard the song. To feast with the king, to dine as his guests, how blessed these pilgrims are. Beholding his hallowed face, that glow with love divine, blessed partakers of his grace, as gems in his crown do shine. Oh, Jesus is coming soon, our trials will then be o'er. Oh, what if our Lord this moment should come for those who are free from sin? Oh, then would it bring you joy or sorrow and great despair? When our Lord in glory comes, we will meet him up in the air, displaying the token. I'll raise him up to the last day. Certainly, we're in those days. Now, paragraph 96, the people gathering into Goshen, they were ready. They knew something was fixing to happen. It was just like, you know, you take ducks when it's time for swarming. They all run right together. When the bees, everything else gets ready, there's some instinct that draws them. The Holy Spirit draws the people. Oh, when it come time for the great wrath of God to fall, there come two ducks, male and female, there come two geese, male and female, here comes two horses, male and female, something and other pulling them, the predestinated, and the rest of them perished. Oh, the rest of them perished. You know, you say, well, what about, you know, animals don't sin. They perished anyway. If they weren't in that election of God, they perished. But those who felt that tug to come in, they knew that ark was prepared. It was a token that there's coming a rain. They knew that there was coming a rain. No matter what the display was and what other people's thoughts, they knew there was something inside of them said, get into there, right quick. Get into there because that's the only place that's going to be safe because God prepared a prophet. He sent the ark as a sign, said, get in there. And the rain was coming and they went right in there, two by two. All the animals went in two by two into the ark because they needed, no matter what the rest, all outside of that ark perished. And all outside of the token of the blood perished, you know, in Moses' day. Everyone. And everyone outside the token of the Holy Ghost will perish. No matter how good, no matter how much church members, there's a lot of them in the days of Noah. There's a lot of them in the days of Moses. But a man that failed to apply the blood as a token, he perished. Those who failed to go into the ark perished. Those who failed to come into Christ, for he is the ark. 1 Corinthians 12 said, by one spirit we're all baptized into one body, the mystical, not church, but the mystical, not denominations, the mystical body of Jesus Christ by one spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, spirit, we are all immersed into this one body. And there is only one body that has already been judged and that has passed the judgment, and that is Christ. And if you have been baptized into that one body, then you're free from all judgment and you have passed through the judgments. Now John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath," that the word is, the Greek word is echoes eternal life, "and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Then, Brother Ram says, the token is on the door, for you are in Christ, and he was the one, your sacrifice, who stood the judgment, and when God looks upon that, he can't do a thing. You're just as safe as you can be, because God in Christ is the self-same person, the Spirit being made flesh, and there is God with his own self, and you, his own children, into the body. Now there's God and the Son and sons, all part of that same body. That's really beautiful. There you are. Not a chemical, but the Spirit. I will pass over you. Notice God entered into that body, and we are baptized into that body, and we become one with God in Christ, being in that body. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall manifest himself, then shall you also manifest yourself in glory." And that word glory is the Greek word doxa, and it means the same opinions, the same values that he had. Well, Brother Bram said in his sermon, "God Hiding in Simplicity," he goes on, he says, "So now in the building, I think that we ought to have this. If it's been dedicated or going to be dedicated in a few minutes to worship, to the worship of God, we should keep it that way. We should never buy or sell in the building. We should never do any business in this auditorium here. It should never be done here. That is such as permitting ministers to come in and sell books and everything. No matter what it is, there's other places to do that for. We shouldn't buy and sell in the house of God. It should be a place of worship, holy and consecrated for that purpose." See? Now, he's given us a nice place. Let's dedicate it to him and dedicate ourselves with it to him. And now, this may seem a little rude, but it's not a place to visit. It's a place of worship. We should never even murmur a word inside of here, outside of worship, to one another unless it's absolutely necessary. See, we should never rally around. We should never run through the building or let our children run through the building. And so doing this, feeling not long ago that of doing this, we constructed it so that we could take care of all of that. Now, we have this here. Of course, many people are strangers, the Tabernacle folks know this, that the building is going to be dedicated to the service of the Almighty. Therefore, dedicating ourselves. Let's remember, when we enter that sanctuary, keep still to one another and worship God. If we want to visit each other, there's places that we may visit each other like, but never walking around where you can't hear yourself think and some person come in and they just don't know what to do. You see, it's so much noise and things, it's just humanly. And I've seen it in churches until it has made me feel real bad, because we do not come into the sanctuary of the Lord to meet each other. We come here to worship God, then go to our homes. Now, the sanctuary is dedicated to worship. Stand outside, talk anything you wish to, as long as it's right and holy. Go to one another's home, visit one another in places. But when you enter that door, be quiet. You come here to talk to him, see, and let him talk back to you. And that's the trouble of it is, we do too much talking and we don't listen enough. Then when we come in here, wait on him. Now, in the old tabernacle, there might not be one person present this morning that was there the day of dedication when Major Ulrich played the music and I stood behind the three crosses here to dedicate the place. I would not permit anybody. The usher stood at the door to see that nobody talked. When you've done your talking outside, you come in. And if you desire to, silently you come to the altar and you pray silently. You walk back to your seat, you opened up the Bible. What your neighbor done, that was up to him. You had nothing to say. If you want to talk to him, say, "Well, I'll see him outside. I'm in here to worship the Lord," and you read his word, or sat quietly. And then the music began to play. Sister Gertie, I don't know whether she's here or not this morning. Sister Gibbs, the old piano, I believe sat back in the corner, the best of my remembrance, and she would play softly, "Down at the Cross Where My Savior Died," some real sweet, soft music. And then until it come time for the service, the song leader got up and led a couple of congregational songs, and if we had some outstanding solo, they sang it, but never just a bunch of carrying on. And then the music continually played, and then after that, I know it was time time to come out. When a minister walks into the congregation of the people praying in the anointing of the Spirit, you're bound to hear from heaven. That's just all. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into confusion, then you're so confused and the Spirit is grieved. I'll never forget when I went to Congo in 2007 to Mabanza Nagungu. You know, the Netherlands were coming in. We had a van seated 13 people, and we had it was filled, 13 seats. We had a bus driver, then we had 12 ministers or 11 ministers with us traveling. And as we came into the town, the people met us like they met Paul, going to one of those places in Athens or whatever. All the young sisters in the churches were dressed in white and they had flowers and they had big banner and welcoming us and everything else. It was like coming back from a victory at war or something, and the people, I've never seen anything like it. And, then they met us with bouquet of flowers and all that stuff. They ushered us off to the television station and then the radio station. We talked to the people in the city and stuff, and they were all invited. But the first night that we have service that night, they went on for 2 hours in their music, and it was just a ruckus, and the pastor had under his pulpit, he pulls out, and he had these steel balls that were hollow and full of, like, buckshot. And, there were seven things, and it was just a lot of noise. The bongo players had a 20-minute duel. It's just like something you'd see in the 60s. It was ridiculous. And you know me, I told him so. I was very grieved. And Brother Bram says, you get the Spirit so grieved. And I was very grieved, and I told him, I said, apparently you haven't read Brother Bram's church order. The music should be sweet, soft to begin with. I said, if you get excited because of the word, at the closing, if you want to sing those kind of songs, that's fine. because I said, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. And I've always entered the pulpit believing that this could be my last time. But I'm going to say what the Lord puts on my heart to say. It might cut, it might sting. But if I don't say it, then I'm going to be held accountable for not saying it. And so I told him. And I know some of the ministers that were there for the convention were upset. And the next morning, the pastor got up, and the pastor confessed to all of them. He said, listen, he said, we've been instructed wrong in this message. He said, we've sat under, we had two big name ministers come, and it was all music to them. They said, so we carry on in our music and stuff. I said, but you know what the brother said was right. Listen to the way Brother Branham did it, and you know you're going to do it the way the Holy Spirit wants it done. And his words of apology, and then I got up and I began to preach on Christ as our example and showing the difference between Father and Son. And that's then when the Lord blessed our meeting and the rainbows came, the three rainbows. The first one was there for 20 minutes, and the second one came and was there, joined itself to the second one, and it became a bowl shape for another 25 minutes, and then the third one came and joined itself, and it became a full circle for an hour and a half. And we had the brother come here and testify of it, and we had people walk out of here and think I was crazy. Listen, if you can't take the supernatural of God, then you're not part of God. That's all there is to it. That God is supernatural, and where God is, there's going to be a supernatural presence and a supernatural display of that presence. So Brother Branch says, when a minister walks into a congregation of people praying in the anointing of the Spirit, you're bound to hear from heaven. That's just all there is to it. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into confusion, then you are confused and the Spirit's grieved, and we don't want to do that. I remember there were sisters running the aisles in that church, and maybe weighing close to 300 pounds. And then they were sitting in their chairs, and the sweat was just pouring off these people, and they're just so tired, they were ready to fall asleep. And the word hadn't been preached yet. And, like I said, I speak what the Lord puts on my heart, and sometimes it's not pleasant. And I really chewed that congregation out. But, the Lord came back and vindicated. I believe that next day he came down there and showed them a present. And, for the next 3 years, that was a buzz. The whole town was a buzz because they'd never seen anything supernatural like that take place. So God stands behind when you speak the truth. So it says, We want to come here to worship. We want lovely homes that I'm going to speak just, about just in a minute and so forth at home, where we visit our friends and take them. But this is the house of the Lord. Now this morning I'd like to tie these words of Brother Branham with what we read from Leviticus about the order and the consecration of the priest, with what Brother Branham said. I also want to tie it together with the next quote I'm going to read from preparation and from paragraph 95 of preparation and from paragraph 95 that we read this morning from the token as well. Because these are all dealing with our preparation, whether we come to church or whether we live our lives in our own home. Now last night we spoke on being prepared, so we'll follow through with this thought this morning. Again, for preparation, Brother Brown said, "Our Heavenly Father, I thank Thee tonight because that we're living in the hour of preparation. We're living when You're preparing the people to believe all things. We believe that's the message of the day, the preparation time." See, that's what the message is all about. He comes down with a shout to what? To get us prepared. To make us a ready people. To make ready a prepared people. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever, and You're calling the people, have give them the Holy Ghost, and now You're trying to call out that group of sons to adopt them. We realize that the old law was that a son was born into a home, he was a son, but the tutor raised him. And then when he was of age, if he'd been the right kind of a son, he was taken out, put a purple robe on, in a ceremony and adopted. And that's what you're trying to do to these full gospel people now. To get them out to themselves somewhere, alone with You in faith. To adopt them into the kingdom and give them the right to go forth and do the things that You did. And it sounds like he's talking about God getting the people ready for John 14:12, because he said, "I pray God that You'll take these few things," because listen, he says, "and give them the right to go forth and do the things that You did." Do the things that You did. That's Jesus said, "and You'll do the things that I did." That's John 14:12. I pray God that You'll take these few examples and here the great Saint Paul said, after writing Hebrews 11, he said, "Seeing that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight." Now, Father, many are weighed down. They'd like to run, but they're sick. And Father, I pray tonight, as I have brought them the plain, simple truth of how that You heal the sick, You raise the dead, You commissioned Your disciples to go preach the gospel, and You said, "These signs will follow them that believe." Back in the Old Testament, from Genesis on to Revelation, You constantly was a miracle-working God when people were ready to step out and believe You. When Moses prayed and then stepped toward the Red Sea, it opened. Now listen. Not just did he pray, not just did he speak, but Brother Brown says, when he stepped toward the Red Sea and it opened. When the priest stepped into the water of Jordan, it peeled back from one side to the other. We've got to make a step. We've got to try. We've got to put forth our effort to show You, he's talking to God, we are sincere. For it's written in the Bible that faith without works is dead, just as the body without the spirit. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that You'll give faith here tonight to these sick people in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask You. So, we're going to break this down, and we're going to look at several things Brother Bram is saying here. He said, we're living in the hour of preparation. He said, we're living when God is preparing the people to believe all things. He said, we believe that that's the message of the hour, is the preparation time. He said, this is the day God is calling the people. He said that God is calling out that group of sons to adopt them. And he said, that's what You're trying to do to these full gospel people now, to get them out to themselves somewhere, alone with You in faith, to adopt them into the kingdom and give them the right to go forth and to do the things that You did. And then he said, we must lay aside every weight. And finally, to finish our preparation, to be made ready, he said, and we've got to step into it. We've got to try. We've got to put forth our effort to show God that we're sincere. Now this morning I would like to look at these closing thoughts of Brother Bram's. Number one, we're living in the hour of preparation. Now what does this mean? We're living in the hour of preparation. Well, Webster tells us that the word preparation means to set in order and to make ready. Notice he said, as his follow-up to this thought, he's praying to God and he says, we're living when You are preparing the people to believe all things. And then he tells us what that means. In number three, he says, we believe that that's the message of the hour, the preparation time. So what is the shout all about? It's to get us ready. It's all about to get us dressed in the Word of God, to get us ready. So the message is what is preparing us to be made ready. And we have to step into it. Noah preached the mercy of God in the oncoming storm of judgment for 120 years, but he would not have been saved from the judgment if he had not stepped into the ark of mercy that he had presented to the people, but none of them wanted. Can you imagine 6 billion people on earth and nobody but his own family wanted what he had to give them? And that was the way out. Oh, they're getting sassy. Look at this nation. They're becoming so anti-Christ. All their statements is anti-Christian. You know, the statements about this guy that went out killing people on campus, asking them, are you a Christian? And if they said yes, he shot him in the head. If they said no, he shot him in the leg. You know, and on the chat room he was in, they were telling him what to do. They said, well, you know, do it this way, and do it this way, and do it this way. A bunch of murdering thugs. This nation is it's only fit for judgment. That's all. And when God spoke to Moses, he said, speak and go forward. And there were two commands there. Speak was one, speak the word. And then the other was go forward. All right? In other words, step into what you have spoken. And Brother Brad taught us that had Moses only spoken the word, nothing would have happened. He had to step into the water for the water to part. If Jesus would have just spoken those words in Gethsemane, nothing would have taken place, but he had to carry that cross himself to Calvary. He said, for this purpose have I come into the world. And I like the way it was depicted in the movie The Passion of Christ by Mel Gibson, because Jesus clung to that cross, and he did not want others to carry it for him. That was what he came into the world to do. Now the Cyrene, when he came along, he helped him, but he didn't carry it for him. And they show that Jesus, he hung on to that thing. That was his. That was his cross. So we must do the same. We must not only speak this word, but we must step into it, and we must live it, we must act it out, and it must become ours. Now, Brother Brown said the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. This is not works. Remember, God must show it first, and then your attitude towards it will bring the results. And your attitude is to step into it, to say, thus saith the Lord, step into it. Excuse me. Just before the children of Israel entered into the promised land, they were given last-minute instructions. They were told to claim every step that they took, and every place that they stepped was to be given to them. In Deuteronomy, the book of two laws, God teaches us how to walk in the light of His glorious presence. And now as we read this scripture, it will do you no good unless you read it for yourself and you apply it to your own situation. And that is how we should read the word, the God's word, as though it was written for you personally. Because then it comes alive to you. Now listen, Deuteronomy 11:18, and if you got an NIV, read it from the NIV, it's tremendous. But Deuteronomy 11:18, fixing these words of mine in your hearts and minds. That's what God is speaking to the people. Fix these words of mine. Fix them in your hearts and in your minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Sounds like all the time, doesn't it? Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. In other words, for an eternity. And to do that, you must have eternal life, and eternal life comes via the Word of God, for it is the seed of God. Now, it continues. If you carefully observe all these commandments that I'm giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to hold fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you, and every place where you set your foot will be whose? Yours. No man will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as you promised, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing is if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse is if you disobey the commandments of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that you are entering to possess, You are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings and on Mount Ebal the curses. And as you know, these mountains are across the Jordan, west of the road toward the setting of the sun, which we are at the setting of the sun. Toward the setting of the sun near the great trees of Moreh in the territory of those Canaanites living in the Arabah in the vicinity of Gilgal. Now, he says, you are about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Brother, sister, we are about to cross that great river of divide between mortal and immortality, between this dimension and the dimension that we're going to. When you have taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I am setting before you today. And there are over 800 promises in the scriptures for our taking. They're yours to be had. And he said, every step you take in this journey with God, where you are walking in the light as he is in the light, you must claim them for your own. How many people are just walking blindly, saying they're walking in the light, but they walk blindly from Sunday to Sunday, not having purpose, not having determination, not having set in their mind that they are coming to hear another promise of God for them to take hold of, to claim, and to possess. How many people are like wandering cattle? Just wandering. We have every promise. Every step you take, possess it. It's yours. Parallel this to Abraham. And you'll notice that God first gave him the revelation of the land of promise. He received the promise first, and then he had to start walking toward it. Every step that he took was an outward show that he believed God. He received it from God, and he offered it back to God. The journey then was his offering or his sacrifice to God. And Brother Branham said in his travels, and if you see a map of his travels, he outlined where the New Jerusalem is going to sit. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 12, 1 to 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your own bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, if you truly understand that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are thee called according to his purpose, then you're not afraid of going through anything in life, because you know it's going to turn out for your better. It's not going to make you a worse person, it's going to make you a better person. It's going to put you in a better standing. It's not going to take you down, tear you down. God doesn't rip into his kids. He might keep you spanked once in a while. But notice Paul is telling us how that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and it is by the renewing of our minds. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. And how are we transformed? By the renewing of your mind. And what will that do for us? He says, that you may prove. In other words, your body becomes a proof. What is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God? It's all about the will of God. And Jesus said, it is written in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will, O God. Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And Paul said in Colossians, let this mind, and the NIV says, let this attitude, which was in Christ, be in you. So see, Abraham's every step toward the promise, the land of promise, then became a manifestation of the promised word of the hour. In this hour, too, the bride becomes a manifestation of her revelation, the word becoming flesh. And as she receives the revelation of the rapture, or the appearing, she is transformed by the renewing of her mind. Thus, she becomes the fulfillment of 2 Corinthians 3:18, which states that she is changed from glory to glory and from image to image, which indicates a progressive change from a progressive revelation. We're coming more and more into the image of Christ. Now, in a sermon, here you hear Brother Brown said, now watch, God never did anything lest he asked man to do it, but what he did himself. His son, when he was born on earth, he was an obedient son. Every step was for the Father. Everything he done was to glorify God. And we've seen God in Christ. Is that right? No man has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten Son has declared it. The very move, the very action, everything that Christ did was God working in him. And he's our example. You get it now? Now watch what takes place. Then God takes his son after a long life, just before Calvary, and had taken him up on a high mountain in a public place. He brought the heavenly witnesses down, and he brought the earthly witnesses up. And there God took his son, and when they had looked up, they saw a cloud that overshadowed them, and Jesus' raiment shined like the sun in the midst of the day. And what was it? God put a robe on him. Just like the old adoption said, he robed him in a glorified condition. No wonder he said, all power in heaven and earth is given into my hands. He robed him and he placed him. And then he said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. Then he had the powers of heaven and earth was given into his hands. Now notice, Peter got all excited under this vision. Many times when the glory of God is close, men get excited. No matter how good they are, they get excited. They want to run out and build a denomination. That's what started when Martin Luther got on the road in the Reformation. That's what started when John Wesley in England got started. They wanted to build a denomination. That's what started when John Smith got started. They built the Baptist. That's what happened with Alexander Campbell got started. And they built the Christian. And that's what happened when Pentecost got started. They built the denomination. God never did intend it. It's a man excited under the glory of God. But stay with the Word. That's it. Don't build a denomination. Don't make camps, brother, sister. When you do, I ain't got nothing against the denomination, but as long as you make yourself prejudiced to the other fellow, be brothers. That's what Christ died for. Now, before we go further with this closing prayer, I'd like to examine three statements Brother Brown makes here. Number one, we're living in the hour of preparation. And this tells us that there is something special about the day that we live. It is a time when there is a setting, all things in order, and in order to do this, there must be a making ready, this setting all things in order. In other words, God is making ready the order. And remember, there's an order to the resurrection. Brother Brown said, no, he said, I won't know anybody in the generation before me or after me, but I know those of my generation. In my father's generation, come up, my grandfather's generation, all the way back to Paul. And he said, he which is first, that's Paul, will be last. And he which is last, that was his generation, will be first. It's interesting to note that Brother Branham had to preach church order before the opening of the seals. And in fact, we read from God in Simplicity where he laid out church order just before he preached the seals. We find the last thing God does in respect to redemption is to place all things in order, and in doing so, he places them all under the feet of his Son. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And I want you to know that he is speaking of an order here. If we are in Adam, we can receive only one thing, and that is death. But if we are in Christ, there is but one thing, and that is life. Therefore, the order of things is very important to us because it can be the difference between life and death. And Brother Branham taught us, in order to live, we must first be willing to die. And he said, you cannot be born again until first you die to yourself. Paul goes on to say in verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, which that word is parousia, means presence. Brother Brown called it the appearance. So we see here that there must be an order in order for us to live. And this order is to be established at the presence or the appearing or the parousia of the Lord, which is when he comes in spirit form in this hour before the actual going home where we meet Jesus at the second coming. So we're talking about an order. He said, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we must understand the order in order to be made alive. And that is, we must die first to self. The Apostle Paul continued, but every man in his own order. So we are dealing with the fact that God has an order, and there is a time when that order must be set forth, and we find that it is at the parousia of the Lord. Now, notice what Paul says next. Then cometh the end, after the parousia, after the presence. Then cometh the end. Now, what's that? He said, after the order has been set in place at the parousia of Christ, remember Brother Branham had to preach church order before the seals, then it is possible for the end to come. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he, which is God, hath put all things under his, the Son of God's feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And in future home, Brother Branham said, if the order is going to be this, at the top will be the pillar of fire of the Logos. He said, then the Lamb, which is the Son of God. He said, then the elect, you know, in the new, he's talking about in the new Jerusalem. Therefore, I hope we can see in Brother Branham's closing remarks, when he said, we're living in the hour of preparation. And that hour is the parousia of Christ among us. It is at the time of the shout, when all things are subject unto him. It is also at this time that we are to grow up into him in all things, and we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Now David foresaw this hour in Psalm 8 and 4. He said, "What is a man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" This speaks of the presence of God in association with the Son of Man ministry. "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." So Paul was quoting from David when he said that in 1 Corinthians 15. Now the next two points Brother Brown made in his closing prayer were this. We're living when you're preparing the people to believe all things. And then he tells us what that means. And we believe that's the message of the day, the preparation time. So we see the message itself is to prepare the people, to make ready a prepared people. In Revelation 19 and 7, he says, the scripture tells us, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready." All right? She was prepared because she was actually asked. She was proposed to. That's the preparation. But she had to make herself ready. The armor star bride had to get ready for that day when the man was coming to take her home. And how did she make herself ready? She adorned herself in the message for the hour, which is the word of God made manifest to her and in her. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, the right wisest of the saints. Now notice point three. We believe that's the message of the day, the preparation time. And what is the message of today? He said, "This is my ministry, see, to declare him that he is here." And we find that in Ephesians 1 and 15, he tells us, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, at your revelation in the Lord Jesus, and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ," so Jesus Christ had a God. He said, "Oh, that's blasphemy." That's what Paul said. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ," when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The one on the cross was not God dying. That was the Son of God dying. Why would Paul say that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto you the same spirit that was in his Son, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him? For 70 weeks of Daniel, Brother Bram said, the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in, just the same as Gabriel come to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand now? And how did Gabriel come to Daniel? It was one angel of the Lord coming to one prophet. And how the Holy Spirit? It was one angel of the Lord coming to a prophet. Hallelujah. And who does the preparing? He said, we're living when you, God, are preparing the people to believe all things. And why does the Spirit of wisdom come into the church? Paul tells us that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Listen. That's why God has come down with a shout. He's getting us ready to go meet his Son. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? God raised Christ from the dead. There's 18 scriptures saying God raised Jesus from the dead. He didn't raise himself. It was the God that was in him. As Brother Branham said, God entered him at the River Jordan. God left him in Gethsemane. That's why on the cross he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That means totally abandoned. When he raised from the dead, he said, go tell my brothers that I must go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. There's many scriptures where Jesus calls God, and calls his Father God, calls him his God. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see, that was God's body, but he loaded to his Son. And Brother Brown said, God entered that Son. He said, when God entered that Son, he entered the three-room house of his Son. He said he entered the body, soul, and spirit of his Son. Well, when God enters you, you got to have a body, soul, and spirit. He enters you the same way. Enter Brother Brown the same way. You know, people just get mixed up because they got a oneness mentality. They try to make God and Jesus one, like your fingers one. But I can show you right in John 17, Jesus said, he said, Father, I've given them thy glory, thy opinions, thy values, that they might also be one as you and I are one. Well, how are we supposed to be one with God if Jesus was God and Jesus God were one, like your fingers one? But Jesus tells us it comes through the same values, the same opinion, the same judgment, the same doxa, the same glory that God gave to him. Brother Adam said, God is the Word. And Jesus became the expression of that Word. And we become the expression of that Word. Brother Adam said, God was the Logos. He said, Jesus was a part of that Logos, and we're a part of that Logos. It's all the Word. So see that God does the preparation. But we have in part, we have our part in it as hearers, and as echoers, as reflectors, and as doers of the Word, or the message, which God has brought with him. Because after all, we will not really prepare ourselves unless we really believe the preparation is a necessary thing. Now, in closing, from watching the star, Brother Brad said, and for myself, I'm expecting something to happen. And it is written, when the people that are called by my name shall assemble themselves together and pray, then I will hear from heaven. And I've been praying today, and I know that others have been praying, and I'm expecting something to happen. Excuse me. There may be things happen, will go right over the head of the people. Many who are not ordained in life will never be able to see it. When Jesus came, there were tens of thousands, yes, millions looking for him to come, and he just revealed himself to a little handful. There's a brother out in Oregon. His daughter had a dream. Not too long ago, a few years ago. She was with her dad. He's a firm believer in this message. And they were walking through a park. People were sitting in the park having lunch, whatever. They're walking through the park, and they noticed this big tent. And they said to the people that are sitting there eating, they said, do you know what's inside that tent? Do you know what that tent's all about? People look around, what tent? They didn't see nothing. They walked up to the tent. Somebody came outside the tent, told our brother that he could enter, but the daughter could not enter. So she thought, well, I'll just wait for him outside. So she's just walking around. People don't see the tent. She sees the tent. She walks around to the other side. And as she walks around to the other side, she hears her dad. He's talking to some brothers, but he's not old like he, you know, his brother's 78 years old. He's young again. She sees him 19, 20 years old. But she recognizes him by his voice. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that God does things that those that are meant to see can see, those that are not meant to see cannot see. Like with Gehazi. The Syrian army had surrounded Elijah. Elijah walked right up to them. And Elijah led them right into a trap with Israel. Gehazi was scared stiff. And Elijah said, Lord, open the boy's eyes. And when he opened the boy's eyes, he saw thousands and hundreds of thousands of angels around. Brother Branham in the tabernacle said, if you could only see in that other dimension, you would see right here on the walls, there's demons ready to pounce on people that won't believe to enter them. But the angel of God is encamped about those that fear him. He said, we each have an angel. I believe that could be our theophonic body. I don't know. I'm not a prophet to say. But Brother Branham said, what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. Brother, sister, what you do in your deeds shows where you're going. If your deeds are righteous and holy, you're going to make a rapture. He said he just revealed himself to a little handful. See, it's those who are looking for something. Those who have a pulsation in their heart, beating and waiting, longing for something to happen. It's those who believe it'll happen and is waiting for the event. That's who Jesus will come for those who love his appearing. Now listen, Job's kids weren't living for God.
They were partying every night, but Job applied the token. Those kids were killed in a fire. Then the different raiders came in. They took all of his cattle, all of his sheep, all of his horses, everything else. But when God restored, after all of his trials, God restored double everything, but only 7 children. And Brother Branham said, where were those children? God had kept them in heaven. Now I believe with all my heart, when Brother Branham talked about salvation, he talked about the token. He's not talking about being in the election, being in the rapture, being everything. He's talking about being saved. He's talking about being saved. When you apply the token for your loved ones, they might have to go through some hard times, but they'll be saved and on the other side. And brother and sister, be worth it all to see them on the other side, young and respectful of God, worshiping God, knowing that they had to go through the fiery trials. And since Joseph went through the fiery trials, his brothers hated him. They despised him. They rejected him. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, just like Jesus. But he learned through all that. It wasn't them that put him there. It was God, for their sake. Now you might have gone through some trials and some hard hitting, and even from your own children, even from your own family. But that's just God tempering you, so that you know how to apply the token. So that you know how to share that love and show that love. Because God will bring them through too. Those boys, they were humble the next time they saw their brother. They were fearful also. And they're humble. But Joseph said, don't worry, guys, I'm not gonna do to you what you did to me. Turn my cheek. That's not what it's all about. It's not about vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's about saving life. And that's what the third pole is all about. It's about saving life. Dying to yourself so their children so see Christ in you, they want what you've got. Hallelujah. It's those who believe it'll happen and is waiting for the event. That's who Jesus will come for. For those who love his appearing. And if you love anybody and you're expecting them to appear, you're making every preparation for it. That's the way the church should be tonight. Making every preparation for the coming of the Lord. Watching every signpost. And when you see God doing something, rejoice, because it's pointing to his coming. And we're down to about the last signpost now. He could appear before the morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we see so many things have been fulfilled in the last year, in the last few months. It's just rapid, rapid, rapid fire. We see this nation coming against Israel. We see this nation proclaiming itself a Sodomite nation, getting it ready for the burning. We see this nation coming against Russia and China and getting themselves set up for the blast. And we see Russia and China now in the Middle East, now just one state, one line of partition across the border from Israel. And we know your prophet said that they will come against Israel right after the rapture. So Father, we're thankful that you're going to get us out of here before all of this takes place. We know that this government is doing everything they can to upset China, to upset Russia, and to try to steal the oil for themselves and the markets for the natural gas, so that the Americans can supply the natural gas instead of the Russians supplying the 70% that they already supply. We see it's all about money. It's all about hate. And Father, it's just total, total. The world is becoming so hateful. Help us, Lord, not to be among that number. Help us be so filled with the love of Christ that the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost for all to see. May we be the reflection of your Son, Jesus, in all, in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.